And today, even though we're changing from the outside, and there's a lot of changes that we go through in our life from the moment we're born to the moment we pass on from this earth, I want to talk to you about a change that is the most important change that has ever happened. And we celebrated it last Sunday, which was Easter, and we want to talk more about it because it is something that we all look forward to. You know, we all go through this life, and we all want to change something about ourselves. Oftentimes, we want to change something about somebody else, and rightfully so. We want other people to change. Sometimes we don't look deep down at ourselves and really realize that we are the ones that actually need to change, not the other people, but us. And we are in this process of, in this Christian life that we walk through and we live, we are in a process of change. And we are becoming more like Christ. We want to become more like Christ, and that's our end goal of our Christian walk, is as the moment we become Christian, and as we go through this life, we want to be more like Christ, Christ-like, which Scripture talks about that you will know people by their fruit, you know, which is love, patience, self-control, gentleness, kindness, and all these other things that are mentioned in Scripture. So when we look at life, there's a lot of changes that are happening. And I love Pastor Steve's, a few weeks ago, Pastor Steve Fleming was here, and he mentioned a statement that he talks to his wife about, and he says, the statement went along like this. Well, why did this happen? Well, I don't know. Only God knows. Why did this happen? I don't know. Only God knows. And I was kind of inspired, actually, a little bit by that, too, because when we were talking about the topic, I just put this title because I thought, this really is what it's all about. This really, when it comes to change in our life and everything that's happening around us, it really comes down to this one sentence. And this is what the title of my sermon this morning is. Only God can change it. Only God can change it. It could be anything. It could be yourself. It could be stuff about yourself that you want to change. Your character. It could be a situation that you're facing. It could be stuff that you want to accomplish, you want to do. It could be problems in life, difficulties. It could be your past. You might have a not so good-looking past. And only really God can change it. And that's what life is all about. Our Christian life isn't a life of information. It is a life of lasting transformation. That is what it's all about. It's not about just, oh, I'm just going to read the Bible just to inform myself. Oh, I'm just going to Google. I'm going to just go read the devotional. I'm going to follow 30 days of script in Scripture or whatever. You know, whatever we do, those are all good things. But we are surrounded and we're bombarded by information, and we have so much information available to us, and yet there is some people that have so much information and they know so much, but they are still struggling. Yes. And they are still going from day to day, and they are still bound, whether it's to addictions or some habits and whatever. And then the true lasting change doesn't happen because there wasn't a transformation that took place. And that's what I talk about this morning, that transformation that takes place and what that power that has been given to us now is able to do in our life. So, only God knows, and really only God can change it. When Jesus was with disciples and he was in his ministry of 3 years, short 3 years on this earth, he was hanging out, doing all amazing things, healing people. People were coming alongside and they were all just amazed by who Jesus was and what he did. But then Good Friday happened, and we just went through it last week. And what happened on Good Friday is there's this darkness that came about. Jesus was arrested, he was put away, he was accused, and he was on a trial. He was accused to die. And he was taken away from the disciples. And then we can only imagine what happened to all the followers at that time. I mean, we probably can't even process all the emotions. But imagine disciples. I mean, we see what happened with Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. He was on a run. All of them disciples were probably gathering together, but they were so fearful. They were afraid. They were just dumbfounded at what just happened. Jesus, the one that we were with this whole time, is just gone. What happens now? And maybe, just maybe, they had a conversation among themselves. Well, what do we do now? What's going to happen next? All the stuff that he was doing and talking about, like, it all makes sense, but he's going to die, and what now? And maybe one of the disciples even brought it up and said, well, I don't know. Peter, maybe. Maybe not Peter, because he was on a run. But John might have said, only God knows. Or maybe another disciple said, you know what, guys? Only God can change it. And the 3 days or 2 days of darkness and not understanding what's happening, being in the dark, and when you're in the dark, it's hard to see what's in front of you. And you're trying to figure out how things are going to flow, how things are going to happen, what's going to happen next. But then on the third day when Jesus arose, he showed up to the disciples, he showed up to the women. When he came arose from the dead, everything changed. Everything, not just some things, but everything changed. What you see happening with disciples at that time, they got this new hope. They got this new awakening. They were so excited. Their life just completely flipped 360. Their whole life, there was an answer to all of their questions. Jesus is alive. He arose. And they were the one sole mission was to go and tell everybody about this, what just happened. And their whole message, even when you read your New Testament and what disciples were preaching and what Peter was the first sermon in the Acts of Apostles, everything came down to this one big event, and that was Jesus is alive, Christ is risen, and you can also rise. Change happened in the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Change can happen in your grave as well. Dead king, he was a king. He came to life, and he can bring the dead things in your life to life. That was their whole message. That was all they preached. That was all they talked about. That's why they met. They met on a Sunday morning. Sunday was when Jesus resurrected, and they kept a meeting and commemorating every Sunday. That's why the church met on Sundays. It was to remember that this is what happened. And this is what our faith is all about. This is why we're meeting here today. This is why we have church. This is why we sing the songs. This is why we gather. This is why we do all these things. It's because of this, what just took place. So Jesus came to bring about change. And he didn't only bring any kind of change. He actually brought the change that people needed the most. Change that we actually need. So the change that Jesus came for is a change that we need. His mission, his life, it was finished. All that he preached about was accomplished on this day when he rose from the dead. The new awakening, the new power, and this kingdom that he was talking about this kingdom. He was saying, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And all of a sudden, this kingdom became alive to not only Jesus, but everybody else that met him at that time. It was so evident in their lives. They gave everything for this cause. They didn't care. Most of the disciples died. They were killed. But they were sure, and they were convinced that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead changes everything. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that you and I have today available to us. Question I have for you this morning is, what would you like to change about yourself? Maybe some of your habits, relationships, life, desires. Maybe you want to be less anxious, you want to be less stressed, less fearful, more confident about the future, about the problems that you're facing. What is it that you want to change about yourself? And in this world, people run to things that don't really create lasting change and transform people's lives. Things like self-help books, which I don't say are bad, but they do not create the real change. Conferences, seminars, and all kinds of stuff. But they don't actually give the fuel. And the fuel that the Apostle Paul is talking about in prison is this fuel. It's called the power, the resurrecting power. He talks about the resurrecting power because he has seen it in his own life, in his own circumstance. He has seen what this power has done in his own life. And he speaks, and everything that he speaks about, everything that he writes from his own experience. He talked about this power that had changed him. He said, I have met the resurrected Savior. I have met him. I know him. How did he know him? Because his life was one way. And then when he met Jesus, his life went completely opposite way. And he was able to see that in his own life. And he was able to talk to everybody that he knew that this power that changed him is also available to you to change you. And he makes it the most important point. Actually, in Philippians 3:10, this is what he says. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. He's the most important pursuit in life that Paul had was to know Christ, and not only to know Christ, but to experience the power of his resurrection. It's not only good for us good enough, it's not only good enough for us to know about God. And yeah, I know God. Yeah, I know the Bible. Yeah, I'm reading. I know this. I know this story. And I know that story. And a matter of fact, I know that story. I've heard it like 60 times. But it's actually to embrace the power of that story in the scripture that is available to you right now, that can bring life to you right now. It's not just a word. It is life. It is spirit. That is what it's all about. So there's four areas that I want to cover that this resurrection power has changed. That I think are probably one of, there's probably other things, but probably the most important areas in our life. When I talk to people, when I just hearing in the world and even people in the world wondering about life, there's four areas, and they are eternal destiny, our destination, where we're going when we die, so our future, our past, our current problems and the situations that we're facing, and then obviously the last thing is us and ourselves. Those are the four areas that this resurrection power is able to change and transform completely. So this power has been passed on to you, to us, to me and you. And I want to start off by reading Romans 8, 9, 10. This is what it says. You, however, you're not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And then the key verse, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, wow, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit that lives in you. So if the Spirit of God lives in you, and this is the truth that we need to believe in, if the Spirit lives in us, and the Spirit does live in us, then he gives life to our body. He gives us the power to change. He gives us the power to face anything that we need to face in our life. He gives us the power to just go through this life and know that even at the end of this life, that there is more When this life ends, there's more. Ephesians 1:19-12, it says this, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him." That was his prayer for the church, that we would understand this incredible greatness of God's power. Do you believe in this incredible greatness of God's power in your life? This is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. The power that's being used, the word, this power, resurrection power, when that word is being used in the scripture, it's actually used over 50 times in the New Testament, but it comes from the word that comes from a word of dynamis, which you might have heard in the past. But the word dynamite that we have in our culture comes from dynamis. So I don't know if you've ever seen things explode. I've seen things explode many times. But when you see things explode, you see there's this power that is just beyond what's humanly possible. And when things explode, things can be shattered into pieces easier. It's used in construction. It's used in wars, unfortunately. That just goes on to say that sometimes we can use the power for the wrong reasons, or people can take the power and use it for the wrong reasons. But that same power of the Holy Spirit that transforms our weakness into strength, that would change the worst sinner, who in this time was Paul, into a great righteous person, the same dynamis power is able to explode and make any mess that we have been through or we're going through into a message. That same power can turn any slave to sin into a free person. It can set any prisoner free. It can give us a fresh start, clean slate, new life. That's the power that's available to us today. And when you were young, you might have had people ask you, "What's your dad up to? What does your dad do?" And I've always had an answer for that question when I was young. But our Father in heaven is in the life-changing business, in a power-changing business. That's what our Father in heaven is up to. And because our Father in heaven is up to that business, he's also in that business in and through us. So this power to change, let's talk about these four things really quickly. This power, resurrection power, that was shown through Jesus and is now with us, because Jesus says, "I'm leaving and this power will come, and the Holy Spirit has descended and has come down on the believers." Those that have believed have this power. This power is able to change our eternal future, which is our eternal destiny, which is our eternity, which is what happens when we die. In 1 John 5:11, it says this, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in me, in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." He writes these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. What does this dynamite power do to this? It blows up and explodes all the satanic accusations, judgment, hell, all the satanic lies. The enemy of our soul. You're good for nothing. You are going to die. You're going to end up in hell. You are the worst of them all. You see, physical death is not something that we'll be able to escape ever, even though the scientists have tried really hard over the years to do something that would, stop the death. But they weren't able to do it. It was never been done, and it's never going to be done. We're all going to an appointment. The appointment that we probably don't want to go to. Thankfully, it's not in our calendars, and we haven't marked it. So we're all, but it's set in stone. It's coming slowly. From the moment we were born, we're dying. And our body and our self, this tent that Apostle Paul talks about, this earthly tent, will cease to exist. Scripture talks about appointed time for everyone to die. But then this power that was shown through Jesus, who also died, but then rose from the dead, is that the same power that's been given and passed to us. So that, therefore, in this spirit, by faith, we also will rise from the dead. And the death itself is not the end. It is a transition. It's not the end. It is a transition. So that one day, when we are at the funeral and we're actually the person in the casket and people look to us, they can say, I know that they are not dead. This is not the end. This is the beginning of eternity. This is when they transition into a glory and into a life everlasting. So, therefore, we don't have to fear death, and we don't have to think about it as something negative. Apostle Paul talks about it as gain. He said it's better. I mean, I want to be with the Lord, but if the Lord wants me to stay, I'll stay. That was his thing. But we don't fear that because we know that our spirit will just continue to live. But that only happens if we are born again and if we receive this resurrection power. What happens if we don't repent? What happens if we don't choose to follow God? What happens if we don't receive this resurrection power? Well, the scripture talks about it, and it's pretty clear. It's the eternal separation from God, which is called hell. Hell is real. Just as heaven is real, and I know we like to talk about heaven more, hell is also real as well. It's not the way that this New Age culture is trying to portray it. Well, you create your own hell on earth. You're living in a hell right now. You know, it's suffering and it's pain and you just gotta live. No, that's not the hell that we're talking about. We're talking about the hell that when our body dies, and then if the spirit was not reborn, it goes to hell. So there is this power, this dynamite power has given us hope that we shall not die and that we shall live on with our Savior forever. The second thing that the power does in our lives, it is the power to cancel your past. To cancel your past. Jeremiah 31:34 says this, the whole verse is, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. So we try to deal with our past, but God destroyed our past. He has forgiven us our sin. He remembers our sin no more. He doesn't bring it up in a room, in a conversation. He doesn't bring up your sin from the past. Say, hey, let's talk about your sin now. Let's talk about what you did 5 years ago. Let's ponder on it and let's... No, the past is in the past. And Apostle Paul talks about this because he was the one who had a terrible past. So much so that he actually says in the scripture, he says, I am the worst, I am the least of all disciples. I'm not even worth being called disciple because of what I've done. But that's not what it's about. And then he says this, it's just because of the grace and this resurrected power in me that I'm able to be righteous and to be forgiven. So He talks about it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. So we are not what we did. We're not what we did in the past. We are what Jesus did for us. That's what we are. That's who we are. And our past has been erased. It's been forgiven. It's been dealt with once and forever. And right now we have a clean slate. From this moment on, we can have a clean slate if we repent, if we ask God to forgive us, and we can look towards the future. And we can say, my past is canceled. My sin has been pardoned. I'm not a sinner. I'm the righteousness of Christ. My failures, my regrets, all the things that I've done, it's finished. Like Jesus even made a statement on the cross. It is finished. It's done. So our past is canceled. It doesn't apply anymore. It doesn't work anymore. You can't access it. A good example I can give you is we just recently went and we canceled a subscription. I don't know if you subscribe to any things in life, you know, whether it's a streaming service, whatever. But we just went and we canceled our, through the talk, and as a family, we decided we're going to cancel our Disney Plus because of all the garbage content that's coming out for the kids and all kinds of stuff. Just garbage upon garbage upon garbage. I have nothing against Disney, but I have a lot against the enemy trying to come after my kids and after us. So we've canceled that. And yes, I did get an email from Disney after we canceled. And they said, would you like to resubscribe? Because we have a lot of good garbage content for you. They didn't say it like that, but pretty close. And then I had to unsubscribe from that email too. So that I don't receive anything from them anymore. But it's like you eliminate everything from your life and it's like, it's gone. I don't have access to it. I'm sorry. You know, I don't want to talk about it. It's done. It's dealt with. So that might be a little prompt for some of you guys sitting this morning listening about Disney. There's been a lot of stuff in the world happening, and I think we have to be very, as Christians, we have to be very wise, especially when it comes to our families. You see, many people in the world have wished to start over. I want to start over. I want to have a new, fresh start. I've messed up so much in my life. I've done so many stupid things. And God is there waiting for most people, just saying, come to me. This resurrection power is available. You can be forgiven. Your past can be erased. And you can just move on with your life and you can be a new creation. So Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, this is the life that we want to live. We want to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And we want to be able to say, you know what? My sins have been dealt with. And with God's power in me, I don't have to go back to my past anymore. And somebody, there's a preacher that once said it, it's like, the way that God deals with our sins and our past, he just takes it and he goes to the deepest lake, in this case, our deepest lake in Ontario is Lake Superior. And the deepest part of the lake, he throws all of our sins and he puts up a sign and he says, no fishing allowed. No more fishing. And I know sometimes we get tempted to go to Canadian Tire and buy the new fishing rods, and update our equipment, and get all this stuff, and then go to a lake, and then sit by the lake and think about stuff, and then maybe go for a fishing spree. But God says, no, you don't have to do that anymore. I have forgiven your sin, and your past has been dealt with, it's over. You're a new creation in Christ. He also gives us the power to overcome any problem, any issue that we face. So the second thing was he blows up our past, the dynamite power, just blows it up out of the water. And when something blows up, it's really hard to find the pieces. It's done. You don't have to look for pieces anymore. And here, the dynamite power, what it does is just when the problems come, the story that comes to is a story of Jericho walls. I don't know if you know the story, but the nation of Israel, and they were walking around Jericho walls for 7 days, and they were waiting for something to happen, this problem to pass. And then we have seen the walls come down. God brought the walls down, and it's like this explosion, this power came through, and they got this new awakening. This city is ours. And they took over. And it's like that in life. What can separate us from the love of God? Is it Romans 8? Is it death? Is it famine? Nakedness, danger, sword, and all these things. And then the Apostle Paul says, no, none of these things. For I am more than a conqueror through him who loved us. It is the power of God in us that's able to help us to be above our problems, not under them. Above our circumstances, not under. A lot of people say sometimes, oh, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances. Well, we're not called to be under the circumstances. We're called to be above the circumstances. Even though sometimes we can't and we don't have control to change our circumstances, what we can say and we can come to a conclusion is only God can change it. Yes. Only God can change it. But he is giving us that power to be the overcomers. If you remember talking about the overcomers message, we are overcomers. Any problem, any trouble that we face, Jesus said, you will have trouble, but do not worry because I've taken care of it. It's dealt with. Everybody has problems. We all have problems. We live in a fallen world, sinful nature, flesh, and all these things. We'll always face stuff, and we will always go through life. There's going to be stuff that will come up, but with God's power in us, we'll be able to be to overcome those problems and face those problems head on and say, no, it's God's power working in my life. You know, I had an opportunity to go to a cemetery just recently, and when I went to the cemetery, I thought to myself, none of these people laying here have problems. They don't. But everybody that's living has all kinds of problems. So the only people that don't have any problems is the people that lay in the cemetery. But my whole point of this, saying all this is what we need to try to do more of and to do better in is we need to trust God when we face problems and difficulties. We not to resort to our own thoughts and what we think is best and what we, well, how do we solve this? Well, let's have a meeting and let's figure it out. No, we, instead of trying in our own strength, which will definitely leave us exhausted and sick and tired, what we need to learn is we need to learn to trust God. So when the problem comes, we can just go to God with the problem. And say, God, this problem, this issue, this person, it's you, it's yours. Give me the power, give me the strength to overcome it. Give me the wisdom, guide me. You will take care of it. I trust you. So that's what we need to learn to do more of. Is to learn to respond in that healthy way, to go to God instead of ourselves and react and act immature and say, well, you know, being mad at God and all the other stuff that people do. Because what was going to happen is if we rely on his power and if we rely on his strength to overcome and go through life's problems, we will be hit, but we will never be devastated and we will never be discouraged because we know that God is with us. We know that we're not alone. We know that he's the one who's giving us the strength to rise above the problems, not be under them. So no matter how hopeless or dark it gets in life, the power of Christ that's in us will help us to rise above our circumstances. So that's what God's power does. It gives us a supernatural boldness and power in the midst of our problems, issues, and opposition. And the fourth thing that this resurrection power does in our lives, it's the power that to change your character, to change yourself, to change us. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says this, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." God wants to blow up all the issues that you have in your personality, in your character, and all the messed up things that, people will call you messed up for, and he wants to blow it up, and he wants to say, instead of the heart of stone, I'm going to give him a heart of flesh and her. And he wants to blow up that hard heart, and he wants to make it more humble, and he wants to make it more more surrendering to Christ. Now, we have this tendency in life. We have this tendency when it comes to changing ourselves. We have this tendency to want to change other people, especially the loved ones around us. We want to change, well, it's not me that have to change, it's him, it's her. Right? We have this, we always say this. Another saying is, well, you know, some things never change. We have this tendency to just blame other people and say, they are the ones that need to change, they're the ones that need to work on, they are the problem. But really, when it comes down to, we blame the people for the problems that we actually need to deal in ourselves. That's usually what happens. We say, oh, you're too prideful. No. When you say you're too prideful, then you're too prideful. If you say, well, whatever else situation that comes up, you're so stubborn. Well, if you say you're so stubborn, then you're probably stubborn yourself. And on and on and on. So the process of transformation that we talk about this Christian life is to become more Christ-like. From the moment we dedicate our life to give our life to Christ, this power that comes into us, we are to bear fruit, more fruit every day. And this whole process obviously starts with repentance, where Jesus was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and then continuously to renew our mind. And in Romans 12 talks about this very, very simply. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. So this renewal of our mind, what that means is that you feed your mind with the spirit, with the word of God, with the spiritual things of God, and that is what is able to transform us. It is the word. If we don't feed ourselves with the spiritual food, we will spiritually starve, and then we'll spiritually die. So if you want to change yourself, something about yourself, some habit that you're doing, or some anything really about your character, and if you don't really know, if you're thinking to yourself, like, I don't really have nothing to change about myself, I always say, just ask your loved one, the closest one that you live with, and they will tell you. But if there's things that you need to change in your life, you have to realize this. I can't change myself, and I do not have power to change myself. It is God, and only God can change me. And only God can change that person. And that's not your problem, and that's not your issue for you to pursue the other person to change. The only problem and the only issue that you have to deal with is your own change, and your own character, and your own growth, and your own spirituality. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look deep down in ourselves and ask the question, what is it that I want to change? And then he wants us to surrender our pride and say, God, you see this. Use an example. Maybe you're not trustworthy because you've lied too many times and the trust has been broken in the relationship. And you say, God, I really want to be trustworthy, but I can't do it in my own strength. You can go to 60 seminars. It's not going to help. What you need is you need God's power to change you. And what you need to do is you need to surrender your life to God and say, God, I really want to be trustworthy, and I need your power and strength, and I want you to help me to be more trustworthy. Help me, Holy Spirit, with your resurrecting power that's in me right now, that's able to blow up this mistrust. Help me to be more trustworthy, because I want to be like that. I don't want to lie anymore. I want to be more like you, Jesus. And the moment we surrender our life to Christ, and the moment we are awakened to this power and that we are not, it's not our strength, it's God in us and through us, that's the moment when things begin to change. And when we see really transformation take place. Not just information, I know all these things, I know the scriptures from the inside out, but actual life change. And actually people come and look to you and say, hey, did you see that? This guy, like he was like doing who knows what, and look at him now. People will actually notice. So God can change your future, he can change your past, he can change your problems, he can change you. Are you ready to fully submit yourself to this resurrecting power that's working in you and allow him to bring the change that you need in your life? I'll end with this verse, Zechariah 4:6, which we've heard many times. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And maybe instead of Zerubbabel, because it's not such a popular name, we can say Ken, David, Sarah, Ovi, and Paul, and John, and on and on and on. This is the word of God to you guys and to me, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So as we submit to Christ's spirit in us, God wants to see you go places. God wants to see you grow. God doesn't just want you to sit in a vehicle and idle in a parking lot in a vehicle. When you know very well that this vehicle is supposed to take you places. The vehicle in this example is a Christian worldview. It's a life of Christ. And he's giving you the keys to the vehicle. And the keys may be the principles that we know and we believe in. We know it's the Christ power in us. It's not us. It's Christ in us. But then he's also giving us the fuel, which is that resurrection power. They can help change things, and it can help takes us from place A to place B. Don't just sit in a car, idling, and just wondering about life or what's supposed to. No, God wants to change you. God wants to change your circumstances. He wants to be there with you. He wants to give you the power that you need for each day that you're facing, tomorrow, whatever you're facing. He wants you to become awakened to this power. Just like the disciples that time when they saw Jesus, they were fully awakened. They were sleeping. This whole time they were sleeping, but then the power came and they just awoke to it. And that's the message this morning for you. Awaken. Wake up, you sleepyhead, and realize what is in you. Realize the power that is in you, the resurrecting power that's working in your life right now. And just, if you need something changed in your life, just go to that power. Just ask God. Ask the best construction worker ever to put his hand on it, and design exactly what he wants to design. And then see what happens. Can we all stand this morning? I'll pray for you. Pray for all of us. If you want to be, you may be this morning, you're watching online or you're in here in person, and you may say, you know what, I've never really given my life to Christ, and I've never really repented. I've never really confessed my sin. And I think that's good because we were all there once. But this may be the day where you want to confess and repent, and then you want to turn things around and you want to just surrender to the resurrecting power of Christ that's in you. And I want to encourage you, it's never too late. It doesn't matter if you're 20 or 70 or 80 or 40. You may say, well, I've done so much and this and that. No, it's never too late to start over with God. Just know this. God loves you. That's why he sent his son. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. And he just wants you to surrender to him. And once you surrender your life to Christ and his power, resurrecting power, everything will change. Everything will change for better. relationships, life. Yes, you may go through hard situations in life, which we all will. We all face them. But with God, it's going to be so much easier to face anything in life, in our life. So I want to pray for you. And you can be praying after me. You can be repeating after me. You don't have to. You can be praying in the spirit because God knows your heart. I don't have to know it. I don't have to hear it. But God knows your heart. And as you submit this morning to God and His resurrecting work and power, I believe that there's going to be amazing things that will happen in your future with God. So if you want to be included, you can pray after me or you can just raise your hand. Whatever is the best way, I'll pray. Father God, we thank you for a life that you gave us. We repent and we say, please forgive us for all of our trespasses, sins, and all the mistakes that we have done. We thank you for your forgiveness. And we thank you for a new life that we have in you, Christ Jesus. The old is gone, and the new has come. And I am a new creation in Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, awaken me this morning as I look to you for your power, resurrecting power, working in my life and through my life. And help me to be more like you. Help me to face any problems with your strength in my life. And help me to trust you with my future, because my future is in your hands. God said, my plans are good for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope in Jeremiah 29. And I just pray right now that you would, that everyone that's listening, everyone that's praying would just know that deep down in their hearts, that you are the God of hope, you're the God of life, you're the God of resurrection. You're the one who gives us strength. You're the one who helps us every day of our lives. We commit our lives to you. We say, have your way in us, Holy Spirit. Work in us. Continue to do the work that you started till the very end. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.